just before we continue in our series, Jesus Unfiltered, looking at the Sermon on the Mount, let's just pray together this morning. Father, we are thankful for the good things you're doing. We are again thankful for the ministry of Kiwanis and how so many lives, even people in this room, have been touched there. We thank you for how you use Ken and Pat Beaumont up there to be directors for many years and how you're now using Scott and Ken and Jay. And we thank you for that and just again pray your wisdom on the leadership as they move into this busy summer season. Father, we thank you for Jeremy and Leah, and thank you that they're home with their children for a few months. May we enjoy having them in our presence. Father, we thank you for the other missionaries that you've sent out from this church around the world. We think, again, especially today of Tom and Sue, and lift them up, and may they know your presence in a special way. And we pray for the city, that this city in these days would know your presence in a special way. We pray for Constable Sarah Beckett's family, Lord. She was tragically taken last week. We pray for her husband. We pray for her two young children. Father, may they have contact with Christ followers who will pour out your love and your grace on that family. We pray for the greater policing community as they gather on Tuesday to remember and celebrate her life, that God, in the midst of that, you would give people like Chaplain Jim Turner an extra measure of your love and grace that he can pour out on those members of the RCMP and the other services. God, may the people in those services that know you shine brightly for you during these days of mourning. And God, may the Church of Victoria be sensitive to ways that we can respond as well. And Father, too, we pray for the young man who is the driver of the truck. We pray for his family. God, may they know your love and grace as well. And may you bring people into their lives that know you, that can speak love, can speak grace, can speak hope in a very trying time. Father, thank you that you've called us to walk with people in the good times, and you've called for us to walk with people in the valleys. And God, may we shine brightly in both cases. And in order to do that, God, we need to be people that walk with you. And so this morning, God, as we continue to look at this series on the Sermon on the Mount, I pray you'll speak to each one of us. Encourage us, and maybe even stretch us a bit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's April. It's spring. And wow, the weather has been great this last week, hasn't it? It's been awesome. Love this time of year. And I want to ask you a question on this Sunday in April. How are those New Year's resolutions going? You know, the ones you made back January 1, get in shape, lose weight, everything else. How are you doing? You know, so often when it comes to New Year's resolutions, we have great intentions, but we have poor execution. You know, just like New Year's resolutions, often areas of our spiritual lives are like that. Take prayer, for instance. We may read a book on prayer. We may hear a sermon or two on prayer. We may share prayer requests at our small group. We may tell people we're going to pray for them. But statistics show us that even among regular church-going people, prayer doesn't happen a lot. We have good intentions when it comes to prayer, but poor execution. Prayer, frankly, is something that we struggle with. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, as he teaches on that hillside on what the section of Scripture known as the Sermon on the Mount, he actually addresses the issue of prayer. We're going to look at two verses this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and then we're going to move over to verse 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 goes like this. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth that they have received their reward in full. Now, Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message paraphrase, puts the verse this way. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom, Do you think God sits in a box seat? A few hours' walk from where Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount stood the beautiful city of Sepphoris. Jesus would have known all about the city because his hometown Nazareth was right beside Sepphoris. Sepphoris was an amazing city with an incredible theater. It had an amphitheater that would seat over 3,000 people. And in this amazing theater, the public was entertained by actors. The actors were called hypocrites because they dressed in masks and costumes and performed Greek plays to the applause of the crowd. Now, with that background, we come back to verse 5. Here's basically what Jesus was saying to the people he was teaching on that hillside. When you pray, don't be like religious hypocrites, religious actors who fake it, turning prayer into a performance for the applause of the crowd. Their motivation for praying was not to communicate with God, but to impress others. And notice Jesus says that because of their motivation, they have received their reward in full. Some people back then were praying these great public prayers, and everybody was awestruck, going, wow, that person can pray. That's amazing. And Jesus says their motivation wasn't to communicate with God. It was to impress the crowd. And so he said when they prayed those kind of prayers and the crowd went, wow, that was their reward. And Jesus says, don't be like that. Don't pray to impress people. He says, rather, in verse 6, this is what he says. Listen, he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In this incredibly packed verse, Jesus gives us five principles, if you will, that if we apply them, they will develop for us a dynamic prayer life. Notice how Jesus starts. He says, but when you pray. But when? Not if, but when. Jesus wants his followers to be people of prayer. And to be a person of prayer, you need to decide to pray. In fact, I would suggest you need to make the decision to make prayer a priority in your life. I would suggest to you that most Christ followers in North America today, we undervalue prayer. We don't pray, as statistics would tell us, because we're busy. Other things are more important. We've got a lot on our plate. We've got young kids at home. We've got aging parents to take care of. Whatever it is, we don't have time to pray. But here's the truth we all know. We make time for what is important. We always make time for what is important. And so really, we undervalue prayer. And yet, I think we'd all say prayer is important. I mean, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus began his ministry in prayer. He chose his disciples in prayer. His ministry breakthroughs, like the one in John 9, where he is recognized as the Son of God, came in the context of prayer. Jesus prepared to face the cross in prayer. It seems that Jesus didn't make a move without praying. And if prayer was important to the King of Kings, prayer should be important to us as followers. And then think about the early church. In Acts 1, it says the believers were constantly in prayer. It says in Acts 1 that they chose a new apostle in prayer. It says that the church was born as people were praying. And then in Acts 2, after the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Christ followers, it says they devoted themselves to prayer. And then in Acts 4, when the early church was facing a problem, they didn't go political. They didn't call a protest. Rather, it says that they raised their voices together in prayer. The church was born in prayer. It was built on a foundation of prayer. The people moved ahead together in prayer. It's pretty obvious that prayer was important to them. And if prayer was important to Jesus, and if prayer was important to the early church, it's pretty safe to assume that prayer should be important to us. Each of us needs to make a decision to not only be a person of prayer, but to be a person who makes prayer a priority in their lives. Have you done that? Have you made the decision to be a person of prayer? And have you made the decision that prayer is going to be a priority in your life? If you really want a deep relationship with God, if you really want to know the reality of God's presence in your life, you really need to make this fundamental decision. You really need to say, God, I am going to be a person of prayer. And I'm going to make prayer a priority in my life because I want to make you and my relationship with you a priority in my life. Jesus says, but when you pray. But when? There's another emphasis in that word when. It's a time emphasis. Principle number two is prayer needs a time. I would suggest to you that every Christ follower needs a specific appointed time that they set aside for private prayer. Because without a determined, non-negotiable when, it's hard to have the type of prayer life that Jesus wants us to have, because other things will crowd out our schedule and eliminate our prayer life. Someone has said, if you don't schedule a time to pray, then you always talk about prayer, but never actually pray. We need to have a daily when. When is the when for prayer in your life? Once you choose to be a person of prayer and say prayer is going to be a priority, the next thing you need to do is decide, when am I going to pray? When am I going to make appointment with myself so I can pray to my Heavenly Father? And I'd suggest getting your day timer out or your iPhone, Google Calendar, whatever you use, and make an appointment. Because if you don't put it in your calendar, it won't happen. When during your day are you going to pray? Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room. Here's number three. Prayer needs a place. I know some people who like to pray when they're jogging or when they're walking. Some people do prayer walks around their neighborhood. Some people pray when they're commuting. Some pray when they're reading their newspaper. Those are all great things. Do them for sure. Pray when you're jogging, commuting, walking, reading the paper. That's great stuff. But those times of prayer should not be a substitute for getting alone with God in a private place. If you desire to really have a deep, dynamic relationship with God, you need a private place to pray. A place where it's just you and God. Jesus knew the importance of a private place. A place where he could get alone and commune with his Father. Mark 1:35 says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus went off to his private place. And Mark 6:46 says, after leaving them, he, that's Jesus, went up on a mountainside to pray. Rather than just praying as he journeyed from city to city, or as he went through his day, and I'm sure Jesus did both, I'm sure Jesus had an ongoing conversation with his Father, but Jesus also sought out a place, a private place, to commune with his Father. And if Jesus needed to do that, how much more do you and I need to do that? We need to find a place, a private place, where we can go and where it can just be God and us, and we can commune with our Holy Father, our Heavenly Father, the one that loves us. Do you have a private place? A place where you can go, where it's just you and God? In his sermon, Praying in the Closet and in the Spirit, Pastor John Piper had a very interesting suggestion. He said, the next time you renovate or build your house, don't put in a media room, put in a prayer room. And if your initial reaction is, no way, oh no, 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 I want the media room, he's crazy, then that's probably more a statement on the value you have of prayer than on Piper's suggestion. Because what Piper's suggesting is you need a private place. And that private place needs to be a priority. What is your private place? Could be your living room early in the morning or late at night. Could be a place in your bedroom. Maybe you've got a study or an office at home. It could be there. For some people, it's outdoors. For me, I've got a couple of private places. One is in my office at home. I have a comfortable chair, and that's one private place. And then up on the west coast of the island here, just around Jordan River, there's a couple of places that I like to go and just be alone with God. What's your private place? Can I encourage you to start the search for a private place to pray? A place where you can get alone with God. So we need to commit to being a person of prayer. Then secondly, we decide to be a person of prayer. Then decide that you're going to have a time to pray and then find a place to pray. So I'm going to be a person of prayer, and I'm going to pray at 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday to Friday, and I'm going to find a place to do that. It's going to be in the living room before anyone gets up. And then he says, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door. Here's the fourth thing. Prayer requires us to close the door. Once you have that private place, you need to go there and you need to close the door. In other words, what he means, I think metaphorically, maybe even literally, is you need to become unavailable. You need to turn off the iPhone. You need to turn off the computer. You need to get away from people and just focus on spending time with Jesus. Just you and him. Now, that can be hard because today our culture is around instant connection and instant communication, right? If someone texts you, you feel like you got to text them right away back. Your computer dings with an email and you think, I got to answer that. But here's what you can do. Take your shaking hand and turn your iPhone off. It's okay. And put it away. And turn your computer to sleep and put it away. And tell your family not to bother you and spend time with Jesus. Just you and him. You really need to do it. If Jesus needed to do it, in our hyper-connected world, how much more important it is for us to do it. We need to close the door. And then when people bother you, we need to ignore them. And you're saying, way to go, empty nester, easy for you to say. You don't have little three-year-olds bashing at the door. I did have at one time. And I remember what that was like. And I knew then that I had to get up early or wait till they were asleep to go to the private place. But we need to do that. If anyone faced the demands of people, I think we'd all agree it was Jesus. And yet Jesus had times when he was unavailable for people. Do you realize that? Jesus, the ultimate people person, had time when he was unavailable for people. In fact, if you look at the Gospels, you see throughout the Gospels that Jesus secluded himself. He closed the door. He cut himself off from people so he could spend time with his Father. And there was a reason for that. Because here really is the bottom line. When you're always available to people, when you're always giving, when it's all outflow, you know what happens? You burn out. Your tank gets really empty. And you start to lose the joy of life. Whether you're a young mother with kids, whether you're an executive in the government, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a busy university student, whether you're someone in the caring professions, whether you're a pastor, you can't always be giving out because you burn out. But here's the great news. When you get into that private place, when you cut yourself off, when you close the door, and you just spend time with Jesus, you know what you'll find? You'll find that you'll come out of that private place with the ability to pour out grace and love on other people. Whether it's your employees or your students or the people you're caring for or your children. When you get into that private place and you spend time with Jesus, a love and a grace is infused in you by Him that you can then go out and pour out on other people. I know that's true because it's so true in my life. If I miss spending that time with Jesus, that private, secluded place where I close the door, when I get into that mode, you know what happens? I'm giving out. And people start to notice. They start to notice that I don't have that same love and grace flowing from me that I have when I spend time with Jesus. I say to my staff, and I say to myself all the time, the best gift we can give you, the church, is a healthy, fired up us. And the way I get healthy and fired up, or at least one of the ways I get healthy and fired up, is spending time with Jesus privately. And the way you will get healthy and fired up is by doing the same thing. And when you spend that time, the reward is other people are blessed, not just you. So are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go into the private place and close the door? And can I say this to you? I think too often today, we think the supernatural happens in the spectacular, don't we? And we think it's in the big gathering with all the flash that the supernatural happens. And we assume that anything eye-opening, anything miraculous has to be spectacular, has to be in the group. But we're missing it. Do you know what is really, really, really supernatural? You getting your butt out of bed, going to that secret place, closing your door, and communing with the eternal, everlasting, living God. That is supernatural, folks. Elijah in the Old Testament, he burns out. He does ministry too hard, he does way too many things, and he burns out. Boom, he's a mess. Heads off to the wilderness. He gets taken care of in the wilderness, and then he finds himself in a cave. And he comes out of this cave, and there's this thunder, and there's this lightning. It's an amazing light show. And the Bible says God wasn't in that. It says God met Elijah in the gentle whisper. And there's something there for us. Jesus wants you to find a time and go into that private place and close the door. And meet Him in the gentle whisper. He wants to pour into your life. Think about this. Just ponder this on the way home. The eternal, loving, holy, everlasting God wants to commune with little insignificant you. That is amazing. That is amazing. And that truth should change your life. It should change your schedule. Because who wouldn't want to commune with the everlasting God if He wants to commune with us? And He does. You see, what Jesus says, He says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. Here's principle number 5. We need to pray to our Father. I know people who hesitate to pray both publicly and privately because they feel they sound childish. They don't have the right language. It's not religious enough. They don't use the right words. They don't feel that their prayers will measure up to other people's prayers. Listen, if that's you, listen, 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 if that's you. God doesn't care about that stuff. What God cares about is that you are seeking to deepen your relationship with Him. And one of the best ways to do that is through prayer. Can I encourage you to see prayer as a conversation with God? Again, God desires to have a relationship with you. And just like in any healthy relationship, communication is key. If I hung around with my wife Sylvia, but we never communicated, our relationship would go south. But when we hang around together and we communicate and we go out on a date night and it's just the two of us and we don't want to see any of you on those nights and it's just, we're just hanging out. I'm being honest. Okay, so we're just the two of us because I just wanted to be the two of us. And we're together and we're communicating, we're talking. Our relationship deepens. I'm just joking. Okay, but our relationship deepens, right? Because we're spending time communicating. And it's the same with my relationship with God. When I get alone with God and I'm communicating with God and I'm talking with God, my relationship deepens. The simplest way to start praying is to get into that private place and start talking to God authentically and honestly. God doesn't want you to pretend. God wants you to be you in that private place. And he wants you to pour out what's on your heart and your mind to him. Read the Psalms. David, half the time he goes into the private place and he's mad at God. Other times he's worshiping God. Other times he's crying out to God. And that's what we need to be like. God wants to hear what's on your heart. Go into your private place and pour out your heart. Share your heart with him. And can I say this? There are many people that are peddling prayer techniques today. That if you read this or light this or hold this or say this formula, or if you just speak out whatever in faith, then God will do what you want him to do. He'll give you the bigger house, the nice car, the trophy wife, whatever. I want you to understand something this morning. The purpose of prayer is not to get more from God. The purpose of prayer is to experience more of God. And God wants you to make the choice to be a person of prayer and then to set aside time and to find a place and close the door and have a conversation with him. And then look at the result in verse 6 quickly. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus doesn't say what kind of reward we should expect, but when you think about it, if you go into your private place and you experience more of God, that's a pretty amazing reward. Now, there are certainly other rewards that come from praying. Let me just give you a few of them. You will know God's power and peace in your life. You will deepen your spirit life. You will be challenged and changed and transformed. You will see God work in amazing ways. You will see prayers answered. And you will be fueled up to live 6-8. So I want to encourage you to get a renewed vision for the importance of prayer in your life. Your prayers impact your life. Your prayers impact the lives of others. Your prayers impact where this church is going. I think one of the things we're going to be absolutely amazed about is when we get to heaven, I guarantee every one of us are going to say, wow, I wish I'd prayed more. When we see what prayer does. So let's start now. Make the choice this morning to make prayer a priority. This afternoon, open up that calendar and set an appointment with yourself. An unmovable appointment that is going to be your time with Jesus. Then find a private place. And then get away from everything. And start talking to him. And watch what he will do. He will not only change you, he will not only bless you, but you will come away from that private place ready to be used by God to bless and change others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We talk prayer, but we need to pray. God, I pray for all of us this morning that as we walk out of this building, we'll have a renewed vision for just how important prayer is. God, I pray that it won't be like a New Year's resolution, but this afternoon we'll take our calendars and we will book a time to be in your presence. And that we'll find that private place and we'll go there and we'll meet with you. And then we'll wonder why we haven't started sooner. And as we meet with you, God, I pray that you will use those times not just to transform us,